Welcome aboard. It's Paul Muller and Philip Althoff with the Hour of Truth. And we're sitting around here trying to figure out what we're going to do. So we'll just start and see where it goes. Phil, you were talking about Galatians and the their being convinced by the followers of the law that were in amongst them that, you know, if you believed in Jesus and you did the law too, then you'd be doubly blessed. But Paul's perspective on that was, it's either one or the other, man. And if you are trying to establish your own righteousness by the law, then you have given away the righteousness of that is provided by God in Christ Jesus, and you're not covered anymore. And you have to, in order to follow the law, you have to, in order to trust in the law for righteousness, then you're not trusting in the Lord for grace. And why is she asking me, where did we go?
Can they not hear us?
We're moving the meters here, people.
Do we start a little bit late, maybe?
What happened to all the people? Oh, in the chat room, yeah. Well,
okay.
You know, that's what happens. We have 9 people online. There are only 6 in the chat room, and I'm one of them, so there you go. And let's see. Oh. Where is it? All of the law is where it is. This is the good news in Galatians, and it's the good news that they rejected by becoming by seeking to righteousness in the law. All of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And how does that work? That doesn't come natural to us because we're selfish jerks. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And, you know, I did not state that we're in Galatians 5 and verse 15 at the moment. But that was because I wasn't really sure I was going to stay here. And I'm still not. But there is a connection out of Romans that we will visit. Biting and devouring one another, that's pretty much the way in the world, isn't it?
That sure is.
It can't be that way in the body of Christ.
Well, which is,
that's not loving one another.
No.
That's the law of grace, is that you love God, love one another, right? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And, you know, the lust of the flesh, you know, amongst other things, is because Steve was hitting on some stuff that both you and I hit on, and it was like, from what, you know, he was talking about a sense of entitlement. God owes me this because I've done this, this, and this for this length of time. And it's like, no. You don't have an arm lock on God for anything.
Absolutely.
Now, If you know him and you trust him, then he's going to provide. And you seek him, he's going to provide. Make provision for you is going to be perfect for doing his will. Not going to be perfect for doing your will, but it's going to be perfect for doing his. And the simple truth that is in the Word. What does the Word say? Seek ye first my righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He'll take care of you as long as you're seeking Him and doing what He wants you to do. And what He wants us to do is to love one another and love Him and spread, sow the seed. Very simple. You know, and that wars against our tendency to need pride and need entitlements and ingratitude and all this, all the other things that war against us because of that old man that we're trying to mortify the deeds of. To flip through Colossians, where that is. I mean, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And it really ends up with you in a... You're just in lockdown. You can't move. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Well, that sounds like freedom from bondage and enslavement to me.
Absolutely.
Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. In other words, it's plainly seen. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murdering, envyings. Envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And as we know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. That should be a colon.
Right.
Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance are attributes of love. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, keeping the law is not only does it not lead to righteousness and is an abandonment of grace and the imputed righteousness from God, but let's see what Romans says about those who have in Galatia sought back keeping the law. Starting verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That is, It's hard to have a zeal for somebody you don't know. It's hard. Hard to love somebody you don't know. If you haven't met them yet, you don't have an emotional investment in them, right? Oh, that really sounds like somebody who's been to counseling. But trust me, I've watched too much panel shows on television or something. If you don't know a person, you have nothing to which to base love on. If you don't know God, you can't be partaking of His righteousness and grace and mercy and His love and His divine nature, the whole thing that envelops the character of God. You got to know Him. And these people were zealous for an idea, not a person. And the idea was, we're chosen people. We're entitled. And He gave us this law, so this must be the way we get to know Him, the way we get it. So they were zealous, many cases. It became the case they were zealous about you keeping the law. They weren't so zealous about them keeping the law. I mean, they would do the sacrifices and all that stuff, but they were not. They became so interested in the minutia, their traditions that they put in place to see to it that they stayed this far away from breaking the law. Sabbath day's journey was the distance you could travel on Sunday without, on Sabbath rather, without it being work. If you traveled any further than that, you were working. So you weren't resting on the Sabbath. These are the kind of things they put in place, and it became about serving the traditions. It wasn't even the law. They were about keeping their traditions as a substitute for actually what the law said. And when you've actually done that, then you're not able to use the law for what Paul says it was used for, which was to be a schoolmaster leading you to Christ.
Amen.
It wasn't a substitute for imputed righteousness. Abraham believed, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness because God is good and because it was before the law. So this is, you know, faith unto righteousness, believing and receiving God's grace. Grace is older than the law. It goes all the way back to the garden. And the law was, you know, it's just like the law was necessary because Israel needed to see something. They first needed to see the rules, then they needed judges, then they needed king. And they were never satisfied until they were just like everybody else. Just like everybody else. They didn't covet the Lord, they coveted the things everybody else had. And they kept getting what they wanted, and they were never satisfied. They were never grateful. And when confronted about their ignorance of who God was and the truth of His Word and the anointing of His overseer, they were gainsaying and rebellious, and they didn't know shame. Oh man, I can't believe I was like that. And get on their knees and confess their sin and repent. Romans 10 verse 3. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What's wrong there? The word says our righteousness is as filthy rags. Menstrual cloth, exactly what that is. Our righteousness isn't worth a dime.
What they're using this law to make themselves righteous, like right. They can do it. Like, right. And the only one that could fulfill that was Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that was it. So he paid the price.
This is all about eye service. What you looked religious, pious. Not about pleasing the Lord. Not even about attaining the righteousness of the law. It was about being well thought of by the people under you, by the people you're supposed to be ministering to.
And,
you know, it was real easy to see whether, you know, how well they kept the law and how... You know, how they never traveled more than a Sabbath day's journey on the Sabbath. And all the little things that they added onto the actual law.
Well, them realizing, I mean, to establish their own righteousness, that was the way of saying they could be righteous. And not relying on Jesus is righteous. Abraham, like you said, Abraham believed God and was accounted for righteousness. You know, it's interesting what they have up here and earlier, and it says a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. The knowledge there was the humility, knowing that you needed Christ. Like you were talking about the schoolmaster.
Right.
I can't do this. I'm screwed without you, Lord.
And even if you could perform the law flawlessly, at some point, prior to the time when you started performing the law flawlessly, you didn't.
Exactly.
And you stand guilty.
Absolutely.
What are you going to do about that?
Absolutely. And that's why they didn't have the knowledge. They didn't recognize the humility that they couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only by God's righteousness. So trying to make themselves righteous is they did not submit unto God in His righteousness. They're trying to establish their own.
For Christ, verse 4, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes there. That for everyone that believes. You know, I've seen the law. I've seen the ceremonial service requirements. I'm glad I don't have to do all that. I would be no good at that. No good. Putting a bell on me, putting a rope on me would not help. I'd be dead before I ever got through the door, man. I'm just saying. For Moses.
Here's verse 4 saying, for Christ is the end of the law for
righteousness to everyone that believeth.
So, I mean, he fulfilled the law.
Right.
He fulfilled it. He completed it. The only one that could. And if we believe on that...
Amen. That's it.
That's righteousness.
For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, but the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart the man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And as that confession is made, then you have a testimony of what God's done for you. And other people can believe unto salvation. But the law is about measuring. The law is about I do it better than you do. Life, so I can feel better about myself. Keeping the law does not justify. There is no justification in keeping the law. There is justification in the grace and mercy that God reckons our belief unto righteousness. Beckons us righteous. No justification aside from Jesus necessary. Am I done with this? For the scripture saith, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed.
There's a confidence, there's a promise right there. If we believe God, we shall not be ashamed.
Right.
And that's believing him through the worst and worst, the thick and thin.
Well,
the hard times and the good times. I mean, that is, if we truly, and I liked what Robin had to say, because Robin kind of hit, with her sermon today, really hit that point. You know?
Huh? I didn't get to hear it.
Oh, you didn't get to hear it? I mean, the point of in what she said, and look, I fail at this magnificently. If we believe God's word, we don't say, you know, what she said was, it's not that there's a hope that God's word is true. But there is a belief that God's word is true regardless.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Not hope, but believe his word is true.
Absolutely.
So if we believe him, we believe his word. We're not going to be ashamed of the outcome.
Right.
Regardless. Even if we're in Stephen's stead being stoned. Because you can go and you've seen Jesus could come and say, enter in, enter in.
What this really means is you're not going to get surprised on judgment. He that believes on the Lord, the name of the Lord, won't get surprised at judgment. That ashamed, I'll have to look that up, but I believe that it's the same word in Romans 5. Let's go to Romans 5. We, and verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Face the same disappointment. You know, if you did all this stuff and at the last day you got the hammer slammed down, guilty.
Gotcha.
That's disappointed.
Right.
That's ashamed.
Right, but it's saying whoever believeth on him
will not
be ashamed, because it's about his righteousness and his covering.
Absolutely. Let's see. I forgot where I was.
You're in 12.
12? Way down there. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. He's generous in provision. If you believe in the God who created the earth and all that is therein, and is his, then it's by definition you become an heir to all that is his. You become a partaker to all that is his.
And it
makes you rich and abundant.
And no, you know, and also it's put in here that God's no respecter of person. It doesn't matter.
Thank you, Linda. Linda got it. That's what I thought it meant. Disappointment. Trust me, if the last day you got cast into hell, you'd be pretty disappointed.
Yeah.
That's the promise of Scripture, that if you believe on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Which is the next verse. And not ashamed, the verse before. You know, the difference between the Jew and the Greek is the same Lord overall is rich unto all that call upon him. Rich in grace and abundant in mercy and abundant in provision. And it's available to everybody. Those that are his children and those who didn't have anything to do with his chosen people. Us Gentiles are able to partake of it too. Because he's good. He's good. For whosoever, verse 13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, how are they going to know any of this stuff? If somebody shares the truth of the gospel with them.
And that's what I was going to hit on.
Yeah.
I read that this morning. I mean, how are they going to know unless we're saying, you know what? Jesus paid the price. You know what? Here's the truth of the gospel.
Sometimes I'm still a jerk.
You can't do it, and I can't do it.
But he's good. That's right.
You can't do it, and I can't do it. But there's a Savior.
That's right.
And his name's Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. How shall they preach that they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And what happens in Matthew 28 and Mark 16? Are those not commissions? Are we not being sent?
Amen.
Everybody. That's everybody's job, man.
And you know, you go up, there was one thing Davey mentioned, and it's in the scripture, what Davey mentioned on one Tuesday afternoon, and one of those things was, you know, you had that, you know, we have that good seed, that seed in our pocket. We all have the testimony of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And sometimes we just keep that thing in our pocket, and we just take that thing out, and look at it, and we smile, and we put it right back in our pocket. Instead of casting those seeds out, and letting them bring forth fruit.
We get real possessive and happy we have the seeds.
Right. And the whole point of that is to go throw what God, good things God has done for you out there.
Right.
And that's the whole point of that. And not only that, because he loves you. And that's what he wants to do for you. And he wants to do that for the next person. And the next person, right, if they would yet just turn it to him.
You know, that's,
and that's the whole talent. If you go back to the scripture and the Matthew, the whole talents, where the one hid his talent in the dirt, that's what he was describing. I don't want to be that one that hides the talents in the dirt. I want to be the one that goes and gets more talents out of what he's given me.
Right.
And his provision is there to make more talents, that people may believe. People may hear the gospel and believe on him and save them just like he's done for you.
We want to have our little safe and keep shoving the seeds into the safe. And then at the end be like, oh, see how much else I got?
And it's good for nothing if we do that. It's good for nothing if we do that.
Absolutely. Let's see, where was I? I was verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for as Isaiah say, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you know, that's just the truth that's always true. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why we read His Word It strengthens our, it builds our faith to read His Word.
Amen.
It builds our faith to share His Word. It builds our faith to have people receive. It builds our faith, you know, all kinds of things build our faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost builds your faith.
Well, look, we have His Word. And what does John say about His Word? 1 John, Gospel.
Yeah.
The Word was with God. Can we, I would like to turn to the center. Yeah.
The Word was flesh.
Yeah, it was made flesh. And that's Jesus.
Yeah.
And you know, if we want to know God, what do? We're going to spend time with Him. Right. How do we spend time with God? We hear the Word of God. We get into His Word.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You want to know God, you need to know His Word. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Without Him was nothing made that was made. I mean, He created everything. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. What does Colossians 3 say? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall be revealed. I have to go there too. I'm about to massacre that. When Christ, verse 4, Colossians, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Christ is our life. Because this thing we're carting around right now, it isn't life. And at some point, it's going to die. But we are hid with Christ in God. And verse 3. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him, just like Him in glory. These are truths that are all based on the same truth. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I say, we're back in Romans now, 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I'll provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Duh. You know, we're those foolish people. And Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. We're looking for Him. Not only were we not chosen people, we weren't looking for Him. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people, just wanting to argue, always wanting to argue. Wanting to just justify themselves. Always having a sense of entitlement. You owe me this because I did. Look, we miss all the leeks and onions and need all this manna is the same old stuff over and over again. We just don't like that.
You know, and we got to pull out that weeds in our heart.
Yeah.
Because if we're honest with ourselves, we do the same thing.
Absolutely.
The same thing. And the other thing is, you know what, I was just sitting here listening to the talk radio, some of the news that you had on last night. And I'm looking at these things, and I'm looking at how things are going, and I'm looking at this, and I'm going, you know what, I mean, as America came, you know, and I believe was blessed of the Lord, and they prospered because of the Lord. And I looked at where has it gone to, and we took Jesus out of the schools. We took Jesus out of everything we do, and everything's acceptable except Jesus.
Right.
And then now you know what you see in this country going to? That's going to be in the same kind of bondage as us. We're going to be the same kind of bondage as the children of Israel in Egypt because of our own same attitude.
That's right. We esteem the... I don't want to use that word. I use it in the service today. The intelligentsia who has abandoned God in their knowledge. They just like we were reading in Romans. We have a knowledge and we don't want God to be a part of it. We don't want to be... We don't want to have to know God. We want to be free to be as corrupt as we can be. And...
you know, and the oh, excuse me. And the part that is that we got to cast that out. I don't want to be in the bondage under Egypt. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be one of the, where the Lord says, I have stretched my hand out to a gainsaying people. Or are you not satisfied? All the, I don't want that to be us. And you know, that's a simple choice to make.
That's right.
I mean, we got that opportunity now not to be the case. And regardless if this whole country goes down under Egypt and under bondage, regardless of all these things, yet God's provision will be there for His people. He will not judge the wicked with the righteous. I mean, you have Sodom and Gomorrah, and you said, you know, and Abraham brought it from 50 down to what, 10?
Yeah.
Righteous people, he would save that city, but there was not 10, but you still had the righteous one in there, was Lot.
And he still saved
them. And he still saved them. He still saved them. So regardless of what's going on around this world, we can turn from the way of Egypt and our own ways and from this flesh unto Him. We have that opportunity right now, and He's given us that opportunity.
That's right.
And if we allow and we believe His Word and believe Him, others will see that and know a difference and come on board with His life as well. You know.
And you know, some of us are going to have to be, are going to end up being Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, look, I don't know if the Lord's going to save our lives. I tell you what, He's going to deliver us this day from you, O King.
Amen. Or some of us might be like Stephen, preach a sermon, right, and then go be with the Lord.
Yeah.
And go be with the Lord.
But you know, we have to change our position.
Our perspectives and our mind.
That's right.
You know, you were reading in Chronicles today, and it was a very interesting thing that you were reading on, is because, and turn away from evil. Is that
turn
what?
Turn away from your wicked ways.
Turn away from your wicked ways. They'll humble themselves and, you know, turn away from their wicked ways. I mean, one of the things that's turning away from your wicked ways is actually there is a change of mind there. I mean, look, if you really humble yourself and you believe God and stop deceiving yourself and come honest before Him, you will turn away from your wicked ways. Because that the wickedness is the justification that you don't need them, or you've been treated unfairly, or you're not, and that is just pride.
All the stuff that tends to pride and feeds pride. And it's just... you know, that's the if-then statement. That God, you know, if my people were called by my name, will stop taking my name in vain and start doing these things, humble themselves, seek my face, repent, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. The land, as you were just talking about, the land is corrupt. The nation is corrupt. The people have hardened their hearts and turned away from the faith. And as this stuff was coming on, the church did absolutely nothing to slow it down.
Well, the church was too busy being Judaized.
Too busy looking good.
Well, I mean, I mean by Judaized is not trying to follow the law. But don't smoke, don't drink, don't do, taste, not, handle not, touch not, dress a certain way, look a certain way. All these things making myself righteous. And have not submitted unto the righteousness of God like we were talking about. And it, what does it become? It becomes unsalty. It becomes unfruitful. And it's good for nothing but to be cast Damn.
Absolutely.
And the question is, are we going to humble ourselves and become salty and believe his word?
Are you going to take salt and rub them in your wounds? Know why you did that? You know why that happened?
To get out the corruption.
Not because I just wanted to be mean. It was a sterilization thing. It killed all the bacteria.
Amen.
Like your womb can heal then. And, it's interesting, all the phrases we've heard, but when we use rubbing salt in a wound in context, we're using it as like somebody's just
being
mean so they can be, so they can get over on somebody.
And that made you feel more pain.
That's God's sterilization at work.
You know what's funny about that is I used to go, if you got caught up a lot or something, you go to the beach, mm-hmm. go swimming. Mm-hmm. But the next day, all those cuts are healing up. Mm-hmm. Healing up.
That's right. I don't know. I wasn't watching, so I'm not really sure what she's talking about with the change of heart question mark. Change of heart is... is the mind change when you receive Jesus? You agree with him, and you start disagreeing with the old man. Change of heart. Only the Lord can orchestrate a change of heart. That's why we proclaim his word. That's why we sit here day after day, all the days we do it. What, 4 days a week? Yeah, 4 days a week we're in his word on the network. And
not including a home.
Right. It's so... people who don't know how good he is, how merciful he is, how much they need him, can hear the truth, receive his word. And as we were reading out here in Romans, that word's in the mouth and in the heart, and it becomes the rule when you decide that it's truth and I'm going to believe it. Yeah, change of mind, change of heart, same thing. And that's available to Jews and Greeks, Jews and Gentiles, which means it's available to everybody, because that's just basically everybody. Those are the two people, that are Jews and those that aren't. And that's the good news of the gospel. And it's also good news, I mean, think about it. God hasn't chosen to go hide himself sitting on his throne in a closet somewhere that we can't get to. No. His desire is that we learn his ways, that we seek his face, that we humble ourselves.
And he's there.
And it's not about, realize it's not about us, it's about him, and how contrary to what we teach ourselves and our kids from the time they can call is contrary to the natural order of things, that it isn't about how good you perform a set of rules. It's about how good he is in ministering grace and mercy to those that will receive it. It's simple. And it doesn't glorify me and you. So it's not something we want in the natural. We want people to think we're absolutely the cat's meow. Or some such thing as that.
No, it's ready available for anybody.
Absolutely.
That will just humble themselves and call upon his name. And really that humbling is with no excuse. I mean, you look at David, and his prayer in Psalm 51 was one of creating me. My sin is ever before me. Hey, look, don't get confused when thou judgest me. I know I'm dead wrong.
Absolutely.
This is my fault. I did this.
I deserve it.
And I deserve it. But have mercy on me and create in me a clean heart.
So
Lord's going to answer that.
Yeah. Yes, he will. It's like somebody that's nobody. Elijah. Looks at the word. Looks at the people. Looks at the word. Looks at the people. Says, it ain't going to rain. That's what this thing here says. It says, you people are like this. So God's not happy about this. It's not going to rain.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned Elijah, because one of the things that I remember in Elijah, and you're talking about, you're reading in Chronicles about how you would, if they would just humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, and I will heal their land, and I'm messing up the scripture, so forgive me, everybody. But what did happen when Elijah, and he stood up against those prophets of Baal, and he stood up against... The people started making a choice, and he said, all right, now go and fill up water. And then the people started obeying the prophet of the Lord. Yeah. And what you've seen was God consumed Elijah's sacrifice. And then what happened? Rain came.
Mm-hmm.
Rain came. So you see that in the act, that promise being laid out right there in that Old Testament.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was just a cool thing.
It wasn't. Without anticipation, he keeps sending his sermon out. Let me know what you see. Let me know what you see.
Yeah.
Let me know what you see. I think I see a cloud. Yeah, absolutely. He believed it. He believed God that the rain was coming. Well, it is. Let me see. How did I get there?
You went in Colossians?
I lost my place. Yeah, I know.
But, you know, where's that scripture where you deceive not yourselves? And you know what happens that keeps us from grabbing on?
Don't be deceived. God is not mocked.
No, not that one. You know, we deceive our own selves. The saying, though, we have no sin, we deceive our own selves. You know, it's...
I was in 1 John.
And then 1 John. And, you know, that excuses we make before the Lord. I mean, you know, we sit there... And what keeps us back, when you know, you brought up something, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble.
Right.
The humble doesn't make an excuse.
Right.
The proud does, because they still think they're justified. And it's no different than trying to seek your own righteousness. Right? No, I'm justified. No, I'm justified. No, I'm justified. Look, the Lord doesn't hear that, and they don't submit unto the righteousness of God. So, when you know, coming before the Lord honestly and humbly, and being like David,
right.
And you know, something Ricky shared with me is like, you know what? We're not ashamed of our sin like David was, like we ought to be.
Absolutely.
And that's something you said, I think, this morning as well.
Yeah.
You know, and that thing, that those excuses, those justifications, all those things keep us from grabbing on to that righteousness of God. Because it's something that you're not letting Him cover, because you're making an excuse for it. You know, and everybody
is a lot more pleased with themselves than they ought to be.
Right, absolutely.
And if they had a sense of the ugliness, the shamefacedness, Scripture says, that they had a sense of what their sin did to Jesus, the shame would be overwhelming. But you know, the good news is you don't have to stay there. You can receive grace and mercy for that. But you got to repent. You got to humble yourself and receive the gift. You have to humble yourself in your tendency to want to justify yourself and say, I deserve better. You don't listen. So many people bring damnation to themselves by wanting what they justly deserve. You don't want what you just
deserve. Or just make an excuse for why you're not guilty.
Yeah. I know what I deserve. I don't want it. You know, and I pray God that His grace and mercy, His mercy is new every day, because I'm not. I'm the same corrupt so-and-so. And, you know, he's righteous and just to forgive those who call on his name. And he'll hear. And then he reveals himself so that you don't have to be without knowledge. You don't have to not know what's going on. And
you don't have to not know him.
Right. Doing this
hit and miss. He didn't come fulfill the whole law and to rip that veil that kept us apart for no reason.
Absolutely.
He didn't go to the cross and suffer that for no reason. There was a point so we can be established in a relationship with him again.
Again, that's right.
Like it was created before sin came.
Like it was supposed to be.
Like it was supposed to be.
That's right. And I think we've come to a place where we can call it a day. We're finishing a little bit before the top of the hour, but that's okay. Scott Stevens is up next with the Jesus Factor. And we'll see you next time.
God bless everyone.